Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports live from Ruben's Barbecue on Main Street in Price, and boy, I can't think of a better place to be here on this opening day of Major League Baseball. This, to me, is March Madness. It's not a knock on college hoops, but everyone who knows me knows that this is the day that I really get amped for, and I know it's a day our next guest gets amped for as well. He joins us periodically here on the show. We talk about a variety of topics, but of course, today we are going to be talking Major League Baseball. A great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein. Steve, it's great to hear from you once again. I appreciate you taking out the time here on this busy, busy sports day.
It's the best day of the year. I mean, it really is. It's you mentioned March Madness, and yeah, you've got college basketball. That's later tonight. We'll watch some games later tonight, but we got Dodger baseball going on right now. We've got 14 games going on. It's going to be a great day, and this is the easily the best time of the year.
I agree 100%. I've said this for years. It actually should be a national holiday. I believe this. Let's move opening day to Friday. Right. Let's move it to Friday. Everybody should go out, go to a ball game. Doesn't have to be Major League Baseball. Go to a minor league game. Go to a high school game. Go to a little league game. It doesn't matter. It's our pastime here in this country. Right. This is an important day for anyone that loves sports because baseball is America's pastime.
And it's weird because now we've kind of watered down opening day. Like, we had the series with the Dodgers and Padres last week, and we have series, you know, going on in Korea. We have series going on, and, you know, years ago we started it, you know, in March and not April. And I don't know. It's kind of been watered down a little bit because of all that, you know, all the extemporaneous games and series that get scheduled. But this is the day, and this is the day we all, you know, where everyone starts 0-0, and everyone's hopes and dreams are still in play until about 9 o'clock tonight, when you realize that your favorite team got beat 11-0, and it's going to be like every other season for the Reds, you know.
The Reds, that's where I wanted to start. I wanted to start with the Cincinnati Reds because this was a team that I was very high on in the offseason, and I think there was a lot to like about the Cincinnati Reds. We saw Ellie De La Cruz last year. He was phenomenal. Matt McClain, I thought, actually outperformed Ellie De La Cruz. There was an overabundance of talent that you could use throughout the field. Is it Jonathan India, who was a second baseman? Now you can put India in the outfield. Marte, this was before the suspension. I mean, there were so many things to get excited about for the Cincinnati Reds. And Steve, I can't think of a team that has fallen on harder times in the final 2 weeks of spring training than the Cincinnati Reds ever. It's, to me, it's almost comical at this point as to what this team looked like 2 to 3 weeks ago compared to what they look like here on opening day.
Yeah, Matt McClain going shoulder surgery now 2 days before the season starts. I mean, that's a big blow for them. And then, you know, we always hear about the great, you know, rookie campaigns, right? You mentioned Ellie De La Cruz, and now you got to answer the question of, do they come back to do the same thing in their sophomore year, their second year? And that's always a big question. So I agree. I think the expectations are still there, but boy, they got to overcome a lot. You know, and the other team that I think is in that same boat, a team that performed so badly last year that you know it's an aberration, right? And that's the St. Louis Cardinals, because they're trying to patch things up a little bit, but you know, they've got guys who are already missing time. Gray missed most of spring training. Sonny Gray missed most of spring training. They're trying so hard to get back to being relevant again, and you have to wonder if that's going to be a thing. So I think that division, the NL Central, is going to be such an interesting division because you've got the expectations of the Reds who have fallen on hard times. You've got the expectations of the Cardinals who are not used to being as bad as they were last year, and then you've got the Milwaukee Brewers who, you know, they're going to have to step up. This is the year. If there was ever going to be a season that was custom made for the Brewers, like, this is it, right? You know, you get the Reds, you don't know what they're going to be, what they're going to look like. You get the Cardinals who are still kind of rebuilding and kind of retooling themselves. Like, if there was ever a team that was just set in their thing, it would be the Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, yes, that is before the Brewers decided to basically blow it up. Remember, there's no Brandon Woodruff. They've traded Corbin Burns. They're going to have to rely on Freddie Peralta and DL Hall. Yeah, you're right. You are right. If the Brewers would have brought last year's roster into this season, I would look at that team and say, okay, that's the team to beat within this division. But that's not the case. And I want to go back before we move on and talk about the St. Louis Cardinals, because there are direct correlations to other sports, and I think you can make this comparison with the Cardinals. To me, the San Antonio Spurs are the Cardinals of the NBA. The New England Patriots were, or you know what, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that's probably a better comp, the Steeler way, right? They run things differently. They are probably the comp for the Cardinals in the NFL. At some point in time, Steve, the game changes, the market changes, and you have to be able to adapt. And the one thing I can say about the St. Louis Cardinals, they have not been able to adapt. I look at this rotation going into this year. Sonny Gray's already on the 15-day IL. You and I got a great look at Lance Lynn last year. We know that this guy's a fourth, fifth starter at best. You're really rolling out with Miles Mikolas and Kyle Gibson. That's who you're going to have to rely on in that starting rotation, and maybe even Steven Matz. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it for a minute. I think that Nolan Arenado has kind of peaked. I think Paul Goldschmidt has peaked. I'm not buying the Cardinals, and I'm certainly not buying the Cardinal way anymore. Something needs to change within this organization.
And it's funny because I'll take it. I'll even keep it in Major League Baseball with the teams you mentioned in comparison. Wasn't this the Atlanta Braves in the 90s?
Yep.
Where they had the rotation, they just didn't have all the other pieces in place. And they, you know, as much as they coined the phrase, you know, chicks dig the long ball, well, then you didn't have a single player who could do that, you know. And that was the Braves, right? They didn't have those players that produced runs. They didn't have those guys. That's why they always fell apart in the postseason, particularly the World Series. They would get there, but then they'd fall apart. And that's where the Cardinals were for the last several years. And now going into this year, with all the injuries they've got and all the questions they've got. You mentioned Lance Lynn. Like, have fun with that. You know, good luck with it. I know what he does. I know what he's capable of, and I don't buy it at all. You know, maybe they get something from Mikolas, who I think he's going to have a better season. But yeah, you've got to rely on those guys. You've got to rely on him. You've got to rely on Zach Thompson. You've got to rely on, and I don't see it. I just don't buy it this year for the Cardinals. Though I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were last year, but I think they're a middle of the road team at best.
Let's talk about teams that are below middle of the road. Okay, because the big storyline in the offseason was obviously the Dodgers spending over $1 billion on two players. There were teams spending big money. We saw the Atlanta Braves beef up their rotation a little bit. And I think the storyline that follows Major League Baseball is you have the same 5 to 6, 7 teams that are going to spend big, and you have, you know, the other 30 teams that just, they're not. And then I think, well, I shouldn't even say that. I think you got the other 20 teams that are just not. And then you have your 5 to 6 really bottom feeders that do not care about the product that is put out on the field. And one of those teams has to be the Colorado Rockies once again. Technically, that's our hometown team here in the state of Utah. And I read an article about Chris Bryant. It's easy to forget that this guy's a World Series champion and a former MVP. Isn't it easy to forget about that? The success that he had in Chicago. And he was asked by the reporter about his time in Colorado. And he said when he signed with the Rockies, he really didn't look deep into their farm system to see how they were developing players. So you essentially had the highest paid player on your team sit there and call out the organization for being frauds and also admitting that he did not do his homework. I'm looking at this Colorado Rockies roster. They're going to roll out Kyle Freeland, opening day starter. Beautiful, right? Great. I look at the bullpen outside of Justin Lawrence, who apparently is going to be their closer. There's not much there outside of Tyler Kinley. I take a look at the infield players. I guess Ezekiel Tovar. I guess Ryan McMahon. I mean, you got a Nolan Jones. You have a couple of names, Steve. But this is a very bad baseball team. And not to just pinpoint the Rockies, there are other very bad teams, including the Oakland A's, who we could spend probably a week talking about. You have those teams where even though you're 0-0, your fan base has absolutely no faith. They know you're going to stink. They know you're going to win 70 games at most.
Oh, yeah. I mean, once you get past Kyle Freeland, okay, here's the rest of that rotation, at least the top half of that rotation, is Cal Quantrill and Dakota Hudson.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And if those names don't ring a bell to you, that's okay, because they don't ring a bell to 95% of baseball fans either, because they're no good in the long term. So, yeah, look, the Rockies, and you mentioned the A's, they have made art. They've created art out of being bad and not caring about being bad. The only thing the Rockies right now care about is getting butts in seats and selling out the Rock Pile. The A's, they just want to get the hell out of Oakland or wherever it is they're going. They want to get the hell out of Oakland. They want to find a safe haven somewhere, whether it's Vegas, whether it's, God forbid, Salt Lake City, wherever it might be, just not Oakland. And even when they do go there, here's a spoiler alert for you. They're not going to be any good there either. That's the bottom line, because management of the A's and the Rockies, they don't have the gumption to do it. They don't have the interest to do it, and they sure as hell don't have the business acumen to go out there and do it. And you got to give at least the Rockies some degree of, okay, look who we're in a division against. We're in a division against the Padres, who spend money. We're in a division with the Giants, who spend money. And we're in a division with the Dodgers, who have made a living out of spending money. So, I mean, there is one little excuse there. But, yeah, if they win 65 games, the Colorado Rockies, there should be a parade down Main Street in downtown Denver.
Again, right now, being joined by Steve Bordstein on Tribe Time Sports, live from Reuben's Barbecue, Main Street and Price, celebrating opening day for Major League Baseball. Now, we do have plenty more to get into. Steve's going to hang around for another segment over the phone. When we come back, we're going to talk about some teams that we believe will surprise. I kind of went on one yesterday. I like the Kansas City Royals this year. I think they made some big strides. We'll talk about that when we return at Tribe Time Sports, live from Reuben's Barbecue on Main Street and Price.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from Reuben's Barbecue, Main Street and Price, here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Talking opening day Major League Baseball with my great friend Steve Bordstein over the phone right now. Steve, we'll get to our championship picks here in just a moment, but give me a surprise team. We talked about my surprise team on the show yesterday, and I'm going with the Kansas City Royals. I think this is a team that made a lot of waves in the offseason. They have the face of their franchise and Bobby Witt Jr. locked up for the foreseeable future. They were very under the radar, in my opinion, and I think you're going to see some big growth from the Kansas City Royals. Give me your surprise team in 2024.
Oh, God, every year I say it too, and every year it turns out to just blow up in my face. You know what? I'm going to throw out a team that I typically would normally just ignore completely. I'm going to go out the Boston Red Sox, because I do think that having Trevor Story healthy from the get-go is a big deal. If they can get a season out of him, they're going to be a factor. They need consistency from Rafael Devers, from Devers, and they need Tristan Casas more than they got a year ago. If they can get that, if their outfield is strong, which I think is their strong point going in, you know, you've got Tyler O'Neill, you've got Abreu, you've got Duran. I think that's a team that sneaks into the playoff chase here come August and September. And then, you know, maybe you make a move at the trade deadline. Maybe they make a run. I think the Red Sox, because I know everyone's so high on the Baltimore Orioles after the year they had last year. And obviously everyone's high on the Yankees because of the move they made to get Juan Soto in the offseason. That's fine. I think the Red Sox are too good of a team, too historically good of a team, to have another bad year like they had last year. And I think Trevor Story is the centerpiece of that. If they have him and can keep him healthy this season, I think they're a factor.
It's a slow build for the Red Sox, and they have been competitive over the last couple of years. I do like this idea. I mean, even though in the AL East, and let's be real, this is the same logic in the NL West. If you get rid of the Colorado Rockies, and maybe, you know what, maybe this applies to the Rockies as well, Steve. When you play in a division that is loaded with 3 to 4 teams that you can make a legitimate argument with to get into the postseason, I think we could put the Angels in this conversation as well, because I think there's 3 teams that make the postseason out of the AL West. I think you can make an argument for 3 teams coming out of the NL West. I think you can make an argument for 3 teams coming out of the AL East. You can be a decent team and still not sniff the postseason because of the competition that you are playing within your own division. And I think the Red Sox have fit that bill over the last couple of years. I really do.
That's a good point. Now, I always enjoy whenever we can kind of I enjoy negativity. I thrive on negativity. It's one of my specialties. I'm going to throw out my team, and then you can give me yours.
Yeah.
The team that's going to underachieve based on the rather high expectations, and I'll throw out mine. Mine is going to be mine very simply is the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't buy it in any way, shape, or form. I get it. Justin Turner's a big addition in the offseason. I understand that. They need much more from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They've got to be able to produce runs, and they just don't do it. They don't have the number of bats that you need to succeed in that division long term. They are just not a strong team offensively. They have a good rotation. That's their strength. But you've got to have more than that in order to win baseball games. This lineup just continues to turn back the clock every single year, expecting big things, and they never get them. I think the Blue Jays are absolutely fake going into this season.
I've called the Blue Jays a fake team for the last couple of years, and a lot of people have been high on them. They've been a sexy pick for a little while. When you look at the depth chart, they're exciting. This is the team, kids love the Toronto Blue Jays, right? Little kids, 8-9-year-old kids who play Little League Baseball, a lot of them love the Toronto Blue Jays because they have the names, they have the exciting players. But Steve, if you're going to roll out a rotation where your top starter is Kevin Gausman, sorry, I watched this guy in the NL West for years. I'm not afraid of a team that's going to roll out Kevin Gausman. I'm just not. Right. So to me, again, and it's going back to the amount of talent that is in the AL East. I think the Yankees are going to be better once we see Gerrit Cole. It's going to be a completely different team. If Marcus Stroman can sniff what he did last year with the Cubs and just carry this rotation for the first couple of months of the season, the Yankees are in a good spot. I agree with you with the Boston Red Sox, and the Tampa Bay Rays are not going anywhere. Oh, and by the way, the favorites to win the division, the Baltimore Orioles, they have one of the best pitchers in the National League over the last 3 years in Corbin Burns. I don't see any way the Toronto Blue Jays compete in the AL East this year. I really don't. Could be wrong. We may be talking here in October saying, boy, we screwed this one up. But Steve, I'm fairly confident in saying that's not going to be the case.
I would agree 100% with that.
As far as the team that I think is going to fall on their face, I would say Toronto. I think you took it. You took the words kind of right out of my mouth. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here again, and I'll go a different way. Not devil's advocate. I'm going to go a different route. Okay, I'm going to go a different route because we just talked about the Toronto Blue Jays. If we go to the National League, let me throw the San Diego Padres out there, because and the reason I'm going to bring up the Padres is because I can see this going either which way. I think the Padres did make some nice moves, but you know what? At the end of the day, the two voices within that clubhouse are still Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis, two of the biggest pompous jerks to wear a Major League Baseball uniform. You have a problem within that clubhouse. They ran Bob Melvin out of town. That's how bad the chemistry is within this team. Now, on the flip side, I could see this really working. Bringing in a guy like Mike Shildt, things look a little bit different. I think Tatis is going to have a breakout year, but still, I see no leader within that clubhouse, and I have to believe that Xander Bogaerts walks around thinking, what in the world did I get myself into? I said that last year. I think it replicates this year. Can they sneak into the playoffs? Maybe so. But they are behind the Diamondbacks, they are behind the Dodgers, and hell, the Giants have actually improved their roster significantly over the last couple of months. I think it could be a letdown for the Padres this year.
You mentioned the voices in the clubhouse, and for anyone who follows any sport whatsoever, the voice in the clubhouse doesn't have to necessarily be their best player.
Nope.
There's no questioning that Machado and Tatis are clearly not just the draws at the gate, but they're their best players. That's easy. No one argues that. The voice of the clubhouse, though, has become, in the last couple of years at least last season it did, was Jake Cronenworth. And this was him. He was asked about this a couple of weeks ago, before the season even started, about what was it going to take to get the Padres kind of to overcome the things they did last year that were wrong. Number one, they were 2-12 in extra inning games last year. They were 9-23 in games decided by one run. So they need to be better at those things. But Jake Cronenworth said it best. This goes to your point about the two voices in the clubhouse and who they are. Quote, the biggest thing is, how do we battle through and get through adversity? I don't think we did the best job of that last year. We were definitely all trying to get out of what we were in, but I think we all learned a very valuable lesson. Okay. Mm. But you still have those two voices who are going to run that organization. Now, maybe getting rid of Soto was the right decision. Yep. Maybe that was the thing. And that, and if that's the case, then God bless it. You did the right thing. But Cronenworth is the guy who single-handedly just said the people who were here last year didn't help matters any. Two of those guys are still there. Machado is still Manny Machado. Tatis is still Fernando Tatis. And now you've got a new manager who's going to try and make sense of it all. Best of luck with that.
I'm with you. Steve, I know this.
And as far as the Giants are concerned, man, I just say this. I know a lot of people made a big deal about Blake Snell coming to the Dodgers, or coming to the Giants. We've seen Blake Snell. We know what he does. He goes five innings and then he pees on himself. So that's it. I don't care.
Yeah, we've seen it a time or two.
I get it. You know, it's like, everyone made a big deal. Oh my God, we got Blake Snell. Cool. What are you going to do with those last four innings?
Steve, give me your World Series prediction. I know we're running a little late on this segment. Who's it going to be? NLAL. Who do we have in the World Series?
Dodgers and Orioles. I think it's that simple. I mean, look, the Dodgers have to go through the Braves. The Orioles are going to have to go through the Rangers and Astros. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I don't think there's a lot of mystery to it. I think I honestly am more excited about the bottom end of this Dodgers rotation than I am about the top end of it. I get it. Glasnow, the opening day starter, Yamamoto, he's going to get over the bad outing he had a couple weeks ago. The bottom end of this rotation, if that rotation stays healthy, and then you get Walker Buehler, and then you get Clayton Kershaw, that rotation is going to be just fine. The hitting will take care of itself. It's obviously one of the best lineups probably in all of baseball, maybe in the last 20, 30 years. The Orioles did all the right things in the offseason to keep themselves relevant and keep themselves a factor. So I'm going Orioles, Dodgers. I think Dodgers win the World Series, and then we get to see Ohtani on the mound next year.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the reasons I'm a little hesitant right now with the Dodgers, because I do believe as we speak right now, the Atlanta Braves have a better roster front to back as we speak right now. Now, that is going to change as the season goes on. You mentioned Clayton Kershaw. You mentioned Walker Buehler. That changes things drastically. But until we see those two guys on the field and see what they look like, Steve, I think right now the Braves are a little bit of a better team. I think there's less holes right now as we speak on March 28th.
I would agree with that. Like, just from a names rotation, looking at the teams as we sit here today on March 28th, the Braves have a better core. But I think as the season goes on, and I think as we start seeing players move around, as we start seeing players settle in, I think that's when the cream will rise to the top here. It'll be the Dodgers and the Braves in the National League. It'll be the Orioles, Reds, Rangers, and Houston in the American League. I don't think there's much surprise to any of that as we go forward. So are you picking the Braves to go to the World Series this year?
I did yesterday, but again, if I have to pick right now, they are better. They are right now.
I agree.
Once we get to July, let me see what Kershaw, let me see what Buehler looks like, and if they are a sliver of their former selves, then it's the Dodgers. But I think it really relies on those two players, Steve. And I also believe the Dodgers will make a move. Mookie Betts will not be a shortstop come October. I don't believe he will. To me, they're the two best rosters in baseball. As we open up the season, the Braves a little bit more complete.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What about American League?
In the American League, to me, it's the Astros and it's the Orioles. And, you know, until the Orioles get there, it's kind of hard to pick against the Astros, isn't it? I know that they were...
I agree.
You know, they were knocked off by the Rangers last year. But to me, it's a three-pony race in the American League. I do like Seattle. I think they're going to make things interesting in the AL West. But to me, it's the Orioles and the Rangers. Right now, I got to go... Or excuse me, the Orioles and the Astros. And right now, I'd have to go with the Astros. So as we sit here on opening day, to me, it's Braves, it's Astros. That may change once we see the complete rosters come July, because it is close with the Orioles and the Dodgers. It's kind of a cop-out in a sense, isn't it? It's kind of a cop-out.
That's okay. No, it's a good cop-out, though. And paging Major League Baseball fans, watch for Willy Adames to be in a Dodgers uniform
yep.
come August.
Yep, agreed. Agreed 100%. That's the next guy that's out in Milwaukee. He is Steve Bortstein. It is always a pleasure to get you on, Steve. I appreciate you joining us today. Before I let you go, let us know where we can find more of your work.
right now covering local sports here in the Four Corners area here in Northwest New Mexico, and just coming off a great prep basketball season, now getting into the spring season, looking forward to covering some baseball here around town. You can follow me on Twitter at TCR Sports on Twitter, or X, or whatever they call it now. You can follow me there at TCR Sports. That's Tri-City Record. That's our paper here in the Four Corners area. So TCR Sports, you can follow me there on X, formerly known as Twitter, formerly known as a place that you could actually have a normal conversation.
Yep, now it's just the stalls of a public bathroom. That's all it's become. Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time, and I will do it again real soon. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, sir.
We're going to pause for just a moment. More coming up. We are live at Reuben's Barbecue, Main Street in Price, opening day for Major League Baseball.